Go to the book of Hebrews, the book of Hebrews. I'd like to preach tonight on a subject I'm entitling, Help is Here. Help is Here. Hebrews chapter 4, if you will. I could just talk on about so many of you in here. I'll tell you what, I just see different people, see folks I traveled with on tour who were blessing most of the time, and seeing others who had a good testimony. Some people are not a blessing when they're hungry. I'll just say that, not mention any sopranos' names. Others I traveled with who were piano players in tour groups, others who watched play sports in high school. That's an amazing thing. Not mentioning names of certain people 20 years ago, but had a little different body build back then, a little more svelte at that time. But I just seen so many folks here, just seeing your piano player and seeing your organ player tonight, just ladies who've been faithful to the cause of Christ, seeing people rearing up families. It's a blessing. It really is. It's just a blessing to my heart. Hebrews chapter 4, look with me if you will, beginning in verse number 14, the Bible says this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And here's the key verse. And I hope that you'll remember this. I hope you'll memorize it. But I hope you'll grasp what this says tonight. Verse 16. Let us, by the way, that's all of us. It's everyone is part of the body of Christ. Not someone who's been to Bible college. Not someone who's a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher. Us, Christians. Christians. Let us, therefore, come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Tonight, I want to tell you that help is here. Let's pray tonight. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of being here at Shadow Mountain once again. I thank you for a faithful pastor and his wife. I thank you for staff that have stayed by the stuff and lifted up his hands. I thank you for faithful church members who've given, who sacrificed, and made this church possible by their tithes and their offerings. I thank you for their mission support. I think of Jonathan and Lisa in Thailand and the work they're doing that's been enabled by churches like this. I think of the Hollies, not only supported by this church, but sent by this church. And Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us to continue to be faithful to do that which you'd have us to do. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to realize tonight that so much of what we do, so much of what we accomplish is based on this verse found in Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 16. Lord, please help each of us to realize that help is here. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I was driving on a road in Oregon a number of years ago. I was getting ready to preach for a man by the name of Mark Lawrence, one of the strongest human beings I ever met. He ran a 4,000-acre ranch and started two different churches up there. Great guy. His daughter married David Gibbs III's son, and they got married. Sadly, just 3 days after that, Brother Lawrence was on the back of a four-wheeler with his daughter. I don't know what happened. I would never ask her. Somehow he fell off. He hit his head on a rock. I was in the hospital with him up in Oregon when he passed away 3 days after his daughter's wedding. Amazing thing. But I was on the way to visit and preach for him. I had a singing group with me. And we were down the road, and I was driving, and singing groups do what they always do. They were sleeping. In fact, for Catholic churches, they have a patron saint for their driving. It's you know what the Catholics put there on their dashboard? Who is it? Saint? You got to know. Saint Christopher, okay? Everyone at Saint Christopher. Come on, some of you former Catholics, come on, help me here, all right? All right, Saint Christopher, he is the supposedly the saint of travel. Well, for Baptists, they have a saint of travel as well. It's Rip Van Winkle, okay? And the van goes on, they go off. That's kind of how that works. So I'm driving down the road. I believe I had three young ladies in the PS. They were all sound asleep. I'm just shooting down the road towards this place in Oregon. I see a van come around the curve in front of me, maybe a quarter mile ahead. I don't know exactly how far it was, but something went wrong. He obviously fell asleep. He went off the side of the road. He tried to overcorrect it. That van began to roll. It hit a tree. Bam! I said, oh, my soul. I said, I think somebody just died. Everybody woke up really quickly. We were at the site of the accident probably, I mean, realistically, 10 or 15 seconds. We were the first one there. I pulled the side of the road, looked both ways, ran across the road. The van was still running. It was bent like a tin can against a tree. Every window had popped out. The young man did have a seatbelt on, fortuitously for him. He was very shaken. He was not in his right mind. He was bleeding from his mouth. And I don't think it had an airbag. I'm sure it did not. He'd hit the steering wheel. Like I said, this van, I reached in there. I turned off the van. And I said this to him. I said, "Help is coming. Help is coming." Now, the problem was I didn't have a cell phone back there. And I'm waving people down. We were still using like tin cans and strings and things like that. And I waved somebody. I said, "Somebody call 911. This guy needs help." I laid him down on the ground. By then, the girls had awakened, being on the Princess program, made their way across the street. And I could not witness to this young man. It was impossible. I remember reaching my pocket, taking out a gospel tract. We have tracts we make up, especially for the tour groups, doesn't have a map or a picture. And I remember putting it in his pocket, hoping maybe later on he'd find that track and find it. Well, I had to get to a meeting. I waited till the police got there, an ambulance was coming. I said, "Is there anything else I could do?" There was no other accident. No one else was involved in the accident. Help was on the way. Help had arrived. It was all good. We got back in, and we took off. See what happened to the young man? The police said he'd be okay. As far as he could tell, there were no broken bones. I can't tell you about internal bleeding. But I stayed there because help was on the way. With a Christian, a lot of times we say, "Well, help is on the way." Friends, can I tell you tonight that help is here? It's here. And this verse shows us some great truths that I believe we can apply to our life and see that help is here. I have a slide I'd like to show you right now. If you read that quickly, what does it say? God is nowhere. Okay, now I'd like you to break that down. Can you show the next slide here? Same exact spelling. It says God is now here. But sometimes we are in such a hurry that we think God is nowhere. We're in a rush. By the way, we didn't change any letters. It's all exactly the same. But God, my friend, is now here. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace." What a wonderful thing to be aware of. Today, it would be extremely difficult to get to one of the world's great monarchs. I wonder how many here have ever shaken the hand of our president, Barack Obama. Could you raise your hand? Not saying that we would necessarily want to, but no, I'm just kidding. We'll take that out of the tape. No one. How many here have ever shaken the hand of President George Bush? One person. I'd like to hear the story about that. Jimmy Carter. I have a friend in the Sacramento area who amazingly is making a track out of this, Brother Haynes. He wrote President Reagan, said, "I'd love to meet you." And he, of course, you know, great. So I'm a pastor of Faith Baptist Tabernacle in Sacramento, California. And one day he got a letter back. Ronald Reagan said, "I'm going to be in San Francisco. I'd like to meet you too." I can tell you, friends, he changed his schedule. He had a son and two daughters. His son's now a pastor in Bremerton, Washington, right outside Puget Sound. His son Michael, his two daughters, they put on their nicest Sunday clothes. They literally were to meet him on the airport runway. He bought him a big jar of jelly beans. His mother is a portrait painter. She painted a picture of Ron and Nancy Reagan. They brought it with them. You could see that picture. Her name was Nancy Rogers. That picture today is hanging in the Reagan Library in Simi Valley, California. And the man said, the security detail was there, said, "You'll have 3 minutes. You can shake his hand, you can take a picture, and he's got to go. He's got a heavy schedule." Mr. Reagan spent 20 minutes with him there on the tarmac of the San Francisco airport. 20 minutes. He had time with them. He had time with them and time for them for one 20-minute period of their entire life. Do you want to hear some amazing news? God has time for us every day. Every day. He wants to hear from you. I do love the book of Genesis. I've taught the book over 50 times in college. I teach it every semester. I've taught it for decades now. It took me about 20 years, Brother Haynes, to figure this out. Why are we here? Two reasons. To walk with God and talk with God and work for God. That's it. I don't know why I was so slow to pick that up. God put Adam and Eve in the garden every day to come down and walk with them and talk with them. Did you talk with them today? For he walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Can I tell you my problem? I don't oft enough tarry there. We pray. We prayed for our meals yesterday. I prayed before I taught yesterday morning. My wife went to bed about 10 o'clock last night. I laid down next to her. We prayed before she went to sleep. Say 10 o'clock. She got up before 5 this morning. I did not. Okay. We prayed. You know, the Bible says that we are to pray without ceasing. Do we have an attitude of prayer? Are we praying to God? Friends, help is here. You can't get to the president. One person here has met one president one time. But isn't it great to know that we can get to God? That encourages me. Even in ancient times, people weren't easily able to visit the monarchs. Do you remember the story of Esther? The queen's wife. In Esther chapter 4, verse number 11, we see the queen entering the king's presence with prayer and fasting because she had not been invited. My friends, tonight we have been invited. God says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. What a wonderful thing that the Holy Spirit confidently calls us to come. Will you come today? Matthew Henry said this, God could have set up a throne of judgment, dispensing the death we earned for the wages of sin. But instead, he chose to set up a throne of grace. I was teaching on this today at a class. The greetings in the New Testament times were grace to you. Paul would often open an epistle with peace and grace or mercy and grace. But grace was always there. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. Probably the best known of all Christian hymns is Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. God's grace is available. Isn't it wonderful to know that we can approach with reverence and godly fear or respect, not being afraid, but respect. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24 says, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. Respect him and serve him. So I want to look closely at this verse tonight. Watch with me if you will. First of all, we see why we therefore come. It says, let us therefore come. When you see the word therefore in the Bible, I'm sure you probably have heard your pastor say you want to see what it's there for. The answer is found in verse 14 and 15 that we read to you tonight. We are to come because of who is there? Jesus Christ, the God-man. We get to spend time with Jesus Christ. Come boldly to the throne of grace. So we see why we come, because of who is there. I like to spend time with my wife. It's kind of nice. Now, I'll be quite honest with you. I had a meeting with a man who was a major supporter of the college today, and Brother Haynes was a little bit worried. I said, you know, this man's preaching in chapel. I have lunch with him, and Pastor, the four of us, he and his partner and pastor, I had lunch with him, and I'm watching my watch. Literally, I walked out of there at a quarter till two, ran home, picked up my wife, and we took off heading for Morgan Hill. My wife, I wouldn't do this, of course, because I am so careful about my diet, but my wife says, look, let's get an ice cream. I said, sweetheart, we can't take a chance of being late. And literally, we did not stop the car. We did not get out of the car from Lancaster to Morgan Hill. Boom, we were here. And there was even a time or two when she asked me, she said, would you like me to drive? And I said, why? She said, because I drive faster than you do. Public confession is good for the soul. But I said, no, that's okay. She said, you can take a nap. I said, sweetheart, I cannot sleep when you are driving. I find myself forced to prayer. Okay, so. But as we made the drive up today, you know, we marveled at the handiwork of God. I kid you not, that 152 over there, that is one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen in America. I mean, it's like emerald. It's like Ireland in its prettiest spots. I saw cows burying their heads in the grass, and half their muzzle was down. The grass was so thick. It was remarkable. You say, why were you watching the cows? I was hungry. I'm just kidding. But we come because Jesus is there. Secondly, tonight, who do we come to? We come to God. Come therefore boldly to the throne of grace. Who sits on that throne? We have a great high priest who stands at the right hand of the Father, who is sitting on the throne of grace. We get to come to God who created the world. We get to come to the one who flooded the earth, who sent down fire, who created plagues, who sent down manna and fed people for 40 years in the wilderness, who brought water out of the rock. Amazing. We get to come to God. One who could part the Red Sea. One who could deliver the three Hebrew children from the fires of the fiery furnace. One who could stop the mouths of the lions. For one who could raise the dead. For the one who was born of a virgin, who allowed himself to be nailed to Calvary's tree for us, to be buried, and then brought forth on the third day he arose again. Tomorrow's Good Friday, they call it. It's good to think about the one we can go to. So we see tonight that, first of all, we see why we come, because Jesus Christ, the God-man, is there. Secondly, who we come to? We come to God. Isn't that amazing that he bids us to come? He asks us to come. I am here tonight at Shadow Mountain Baptist Church in Morgan Hill, California, because of one reason. Because my friend, Pastor Haynes, invited me to come. There's a lot of other churches probably within a 100-mile radius, but I'm not there tonight because I wasn't invited to come. This invitation took precedence. I told Pastor I was invited to be somewhere else this weekend. My brother Tim had a father and son camp out, but I'd accepted the invitation. I heard the invitation. I said, I'll be there. God's saying to you, will you come to the throne of grace? How are we to come? The Bible says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace. One of the books that I feel is a must-have for a preacher is the Webster 1828 Dictionary. I like to define words there. Noah Webster was the father of our English language, so to speak. It was sort of a hobgoblin mix of 101 things, and he wanted to get it laid out. And so he was a born-again man. He loved the Lord. He said this, when it comes to the word boldly, he defined it as courageous, intrepidly, means brave again, without timidity or fear, and with confidence. To come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence, what a great thing. Not being afraid. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee, said the psalmist in Psalm 56, verse number 3. No, we come saying, Abba, Father. He wants to talk to us. He loves us. He cares about us. If I needed to borrow a dollar tonight, I would have no problem going to the pastor or many other friends here tonight. You know why? I know them. They know me. I could talk to them. No problem. Ladies and gentlemen, do we know God? Is it awkward to ask him something? Pastor, I know at times you've heard people pray and you could tell it's awkward. I have a dear friend whose name is Benny Beckham. He often starts his prayers by saying, Father, we need to talk to you. There's a saint of God who went home to be with the Lord a few months ago now, Dr. Charles Holmshire, the founder, some 56 years ago of Neighborhood Bible Time. I asked him one time, could I pray with you? I remember going into an office and he turned off the lights. He laid down the floor. He says, Father, we need you. I was preaching up in Montana, and Dr. Tom Williams came to service where I was preaching. I said, Dr. Williams, you've taught me a lot about prayer. Could I pray with you? He said, yes, you can. I said, well, can I come to your house and pray with you? And he said, sure. I said, what time do you start? He said, 4 a.m. I said, maybe a little later. No, I didn't say that. I said, I'll be there. I remember talking to the young men, and they said, 4 a.m.? I said, well, I'm going. They finally decided to come, and I remember praying with Dr. Williams that morning several years ago. He said, Father, it's Tom. It's Tom. I could tell he'd been there before. Come boldly. I have friends here who would help me. Can I tell you tonight, folks? You have a friend who sticketh closer than a brother who wants to help you. Will you allow him to do it? This is what the English teacher would say is a definitive directive. Come boldly. It tells us what God wants us to do. Why are we to come? The verse says this, that we may obtain mercy in time of need. How unbelievably encouraging tonight. What is this? Mercy and grace are not based on our prayers. They are unmerited favor. But God wants to be one who gives us mercy. I am not always a mercy giver. At times I tend to have a little more of a prophetic gift. Cast them out and stone them. You know, just kidding. But I want to have mercy. A highlight for me this semester, I could see the face of one of these young ladies. She's in my class this year. Now, there's a young man, I don't have him in a class, but I wrote them every month throughout the last 9 months because we'd expelled them from college last spring. If you get expelled from West Coast Baptist College, you can't come back the next semester. You have to sit out an entire semester. We're going to see if you're serious about it. But I truly felt they were repentant, that they truly wanted God to use them. Every time I see him, I say, I'm so glad you're back. I want to have mercy. God says he will give us mercy. What will he give us? Mercy and grace. When will he give it to us? This is so awesome. In time of need. Just when I needed him, he was there. He says, come boldly. I'll give you what you need. Exactly when you need it. The need may be health. I have different prayer lists. One of my prayer lists is a weekly prayer list. I write those people every week. Ron Chow, muscular dystrophy. Lauren Goddard, MS. Tony Brown, cancer. Bob McGregor, cancer. Junior Ortiz, second grade, cancer. I write him. Joe Baldus, leukemia. He's in my Sunday school class. They're on the left-hand side. I have another list I pray and write to monthly. They're preachers around the country with some serious health issues. The first of the month, I'll write him a postcard, let him know I'm praying for him. Let him know they're being thought about. Gary Boltikoff, cancer. Kansas, never met the man. Some people in prison. The Apostle Paul said, remember me in my bonds. I think of two brothers, Joshua and Kayla Thompson, spanked a boy at church. They shouldn't have. Probably should have been punished for it, but they got a liberal Democrat judge who sentenced them, by the way, no skin broken, no blood. The mother asked him to spank the boy who lied to her, stole from her, and hit her. They were sentenced to 14 and 24 years in prison. Young married men. Been in 10 years now. I write him every other month. I want somebody to know. I never met him, but I want to have mercy. I want to have mercy. I want him to know somebody's thinking about him. Somebody cares for him. The need may be health. The need may be something in your family. By the way, can I tell you tonight, friends, I believe everyone will have a heartache with either family, finances, or physical health. Family, finances, or physical health. You can count on it. Say, it hasn't happened to me yet. It'll happen. It'll happen. But he is there all the time. It may be family, there's mercy and grace. It may be finances, there's mercy and grace. The need may be spiritual, there is mercy and grace. The need may be growth, there is mercy and grace. The need may be salvation of a loved one, there's mercy and grace. My dad prayed for his father to be saved every day for 14 years in a row before he got saved. He got saved. He's in heaven today. No wonder grace to you became the standard greeting in Bible times. What a wonderful thing. What will we receive from God? The Bible says we will receive help. This exact word is only used two times in the Bible. I'm not a Greek scholar. I could use Strong's and look a few things up. I don't claim to be a scholar, but this particular word help is found twice. Once here, it says we will find grace to help. That word help in the Greek is bothia, B-O-E-T-H-I-A. The only other time it's found is found in Acts 27, verse 17. It's really interesting. It deals with the Apostle Paul being on a ship. It talks about the ship being in the midst of the storm. It talks about that they used some helps on the ship. It defined these helps in a word called frapping. I didn't know what that was. They would take a rope, one I'm sure bigger than this, and they would take that rope and they would wrap that entire rope around the ship. And it literally would help to keep the ship's timbers from being beaten apart. They wouldn't just take one, and the ropes were thicker than this. But they'd loop it, they'd take it over the bow of the ship, they'd flip, they'd take it about a third of the way back, they'd pull it tight. I'm not going to show you some knots tonight, but you could visualize that wrapped around the ship. Then they'd take another one, let the water carry it, take it about halfway, they'd pull it tight. Bothia, frapping. Can I tell you tonight? It's the rope of prayer that'll help keep things in your family wrapped together. It's the rope of prayer that'll help to keep things in your church pulled together. But a lot of people don't have it. And the storms hit. And the waves come. And the winds roar. And things start to spring leaks. And boards pop loose. You will find grace to help, to wrap around you, to keep things pulled together in time of need. What a tremendous blessing and help and encouragement. The Bible says in Acts 27:15, "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up under the wind, we let her drive, and running into a certain island which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. And when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall in the quicksand, strike sail, and so were driven." Let's pick a time and a place tonight when we will come boldly to the throne. Come boldly to the throne. Can I tell you a little secret tonight? I've told this to college students for over three decades. That which gets scheduled gets done. That which gets scheduled gets done. When people tell me, well, I'm going to exercise a little bit. I'm going to exercise more this year. When and where? I checked today. We're now 100 days into 2014. Is that amazing to you like it is to me? Do you set any goals for this new year? It's not too late. It's not too late. Come boldly to the throne. I read this poem. It challenged my heart. I got up early one morning and rushed right into the day. I had so much to accomplish that I didn't take time to pray. Problems just tumbled about me and heavier came each task. Why doesn't God help me? I wondered. He answered, "You didn't ask." I tried to come to God's presence. I used all my keys at the lock. God gently and lovingly chided, "Why, child, you didn't knock." I wanted to see joy and beauty, but the day toiled on, gray and bleak. I wondered why God didn't show me. He answered me, "But ye didn't seek." I woke up early this morning and paused before entering the day. I had so much to accomplish that I had to take time to pray. I was preaching Sunday night in Paris, California, and a young man got up and I remember recruiting him. He came out of Brother Rule's church up in Chico, California. His name is Connor Smith. Connor later traveled with me in a tour group. He's the youth and music director there at Brother Greedo's church. I think it's Temple Baptist Church in Paris, California. He was introducing me. He said, "I never forget a lesson I learned from Dr. R." Oh, that's good. They said, here's what it was. I'd forgotten this, Brother Haynes. He said, I was at the Outback. It was a dating night activity. Matt, you never took your wife there because you were at Arby's down the street, but there was a steak place as well. And I think it was busy, and there was a long line, and we didn't have reservations. I saw three college guys sitting by themselves without dates. Hello, Captain Obvious. Time to give them some help. So I said, hey, I didn't want to wait 40 minutes. I said, can we sit with you guys? They said, great. We ordered our food. And I think my wife and I, a lot of times at Outback, will split a steak. I will say not evenly, but we do split it. Get an extra salad, split a steak, split the potato. But I had a steak that night. I don't remember what kind. But I remember when the potato came, it was minuscule. It was the smallest baked potato I have ever seen. I thought someone had maybe wrapped one of those little red potatoes. And I just stared at it. I was in awe. Shock and awe. And I raised my hand. And the waitress came over and I said, ma'am, is this a tater tot? By the way, people do better when they're happy. She said, it is kind of small, isn't it? I said, oh, is that supposed to be a baked potato? And she said, would you like me to get you a larger one? I said, well, if you insist. And she brought back a very nice-sized potato. And I turned to the young man and I said, guys, here's your lesson. We have not because we ask not. I'd forgotten that. I close tonight by saying this. I wonder sometimes if God is asking us, have you forgotten that? We have not because we ask not. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may have mercy and grace to help in time of need. Let's pray tonight. Dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege of preaching this church once again. I pray, Lord, that you'll help us to apply the truths of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. With our heads bowed and their eyes closed tonight, let me say, first of all, I realize that most, if not everyone here tonight, is a believer. But if you do not know for sure, you're on your way to heaven. Can I say this tonight? The single greatest decision you'll ever make is trusting Christ as your Savior. I believe without a shadow of a doubt the second most important decision you make is who you marry. But it pales into seeming insignificance into that decision of being saved. I wonder tonight, is there anyone here who would say, you know, Dr. Rasmussen, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not positive about that. If you would say that tonight, you're not sure, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? I won't embarrass you. Is there anyone like that tonight? By no raised hands, it clarify what I thought. That was that everyone here already trusted Christ as their Savior. If you don't know, please talk to the pastor, myself, or Mrs. Haynes or my wife if you're related. They'd be glad to show you how you can know for sure. But I'd like to ask you tonight, I wonder how many here tonight would say, you know, Dr. R, God spoke to my heart tonight about prayer. I don't know why God directed me this message. I've only preached this message one other time my entire life at a prayer conference back in Baltimore, Maryland last fall. And I was praying about this week and I had my messages all picked out for couples to read, but I was praying about this. I wrote some new messages since then. God put this on my heart. I'm sure it's for some of us. I know part of it was for me. I wonder how many here tonight would say, you know, Dr. R, with God's help, I want to do more of coming boldly to the throne of grace. If God spoke to your heart about this tonight, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you? Man, a great sea of hands. In just a moment, we're going to stand and we're going to have just the piano play. We're not going to sing. You don't need to tell me about this or even the pastor, but if God spoke to your heart, I'm going to encourage you to come to the front and kneel and pray and talk to the Lord about whatever it is he talked to you about. Maybe just commit to be more consistent in your prayer, to come boldly, because we have not, because we ask not. Lord, I pray you'll bless during this invitation time. I pray you'll work in hearts to have your will in your way, Lord. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, let's stand to our feet if you would. If God spoke to your heart, if you raise your hand, why don't you come for just a moment, talk to the Lord about whatever it is he talked to you about. Numbers are coming. I don't know what you should do. I don't know when you should do it. But I believe this is something we all should do. Come boldly to the throne of grace. Come boldly to the throne of grace. I know at times I have not. Many times, I've depended on the arm of flesh. The Bible says the arm of flesh will fail you, my friend, but His arm fails not. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may find mercy and grace to help in time of need. God loves us. That's amazing. And He wants to talk to us. I know this. If my wife didn't talk to me, that would hurt me. And I believe oft times our Heavenly Father says, why don't you talk to me? I'm your Abba, your Father. Why don't you come to me? I'd like to talk to you. I'd like to help you. I'd like to be a blessing to you. Come unto me. Come unto me.